وحبيبنا وشفيعنا ومطاعنا محمد عبده ورسوله. أما بعد، فقد قال الله تعالى في القرآن المجيد والفرقان الحميد: أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم، بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. إن الذين قالوا ربنا الله ثم استقاموا تتنزل عليهم الملائكة ألا تخافوا ولا تحزنوا تتنزل عليهم الملائكة ألا تخافوا ولا تحزنوا وأبشروا بالجنة التي كنتم توعدون. نحن أولياؤكم في الحياة الدنيا وفي الآخرة، ولكم فيها ما تشتهي أنفسكم ولكم فيها ما تدعون نزلا من غفور رحيم. صدق الله العظيم. وقال النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم: ألا وإن الدنيا عرض حاضر يأكل منه البر والفاجر، ألا وإن الآخرة أجل صادق يقضي فيها ملك عادل قادر يحق الحق ويبطل الباطل، ألا وإن الخير كله بحذافيره في الجنة، ألا وإن الشر كله بحذافيره في النار، ألا فاعملوا وأنتم من الله على حذر، واعلموا أنكم معروضون على أعمالكم، فمن يعمل مثقال ذرة خيرا يره، ومن يعمل مثقال ذرة شرا يره، أو كما قال النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم. Respected علماء الكرام, elders, beloved brothers in Islam, there is no measuring tape, there is no yardstick, there is no mathematical equation or calculation, and there is no instrument that can be used that will even do an iota of justice to counting, enumerating, contemplating the vastness of the bounties and the favors of Allah upon us. Allah Himself says in the Quran, وَإِن تَعُدُّوا نِعْمَةَ اللَّهِ لَا تُحْصُوهَا. That if you have to enumerate, if you have to count, if you have to contemplate, if you have to ponder or reflect over the ni'mats and bounties of Allah, لا تحصوها, you will never do justice to this. The vastness of Allah's creation, this is something that is wara'ul wara, beyond human comprehension. We cannot even contemplate or recognize or even realize or even attempt to even justify to a small iota some understanding of how vast Allah's creation is. Like the poet says, Unduru ila shamsi wa shu'aiha wa ila samai wa artifa'iha wa ila al-ardi wa attisa'iha wa ila al-bahri wa amwajiha. Look around you. Look up at the sun. وَالشَّمْسِ وَضُحَاهَا. Allah Ta'ala says, هُوَ الَّذِي جَعَلَ الشَّمْسَ ضِيَاءً وَالْقَمَرَ نُورًا. One creation of Allah. One place in the Quran Allah describes the sun, سِرَاجًا وَحَاجًا, a shining lantern. How much of energy is being expended from just one creation of Allah? It said every second in the sun, 14 billion tons of helium gas is converted into 12 billion tons of hydrogen gas. This conversion or chemical reaction causes energy to be given off, equivalent to 500 million atom bombs exploding at one time. Flames 100,000 miles long. And the sun is just one star. 1981, there was a magazine published, actually by a Christian organization in America, January 1981 edition of this magazine, the name of the magazine, The Plain Truth. In it, they had mention of a report that was the result of research by NASA at that time, where it is mentioned briefly that this universe is so vast, that in reality, What is visible to us is where there is light, which in reality is only 3% of the universe. And in that 3% that is visible, there are so many stars. The sun, in fact, is one star. This galaxy in which we are living, it's referred to as what they call the Milky Way. It's a conjunction of 17 galaxies, what they call a super galaxy. The sun, this solar system which we are exposed to, the sun, 9 planets, 31 moons, 30,000 comets, thousands of meteors and asteroids. This is one small, tiny part of this galaxy. The surface temperature, if you look at the circumference of the sun, or the diameter of the sun, is 1,392,000 kilometers. More than 120,000 times the size of the Earth. And yet, as we mentioned, the sun is just one star. Just this galaxy, the Milky Way, they estimate there are 200 billion stars. One star, the diameter is 400 million kilometers. One star, the diameter is 1.4 billion kilometers. Imagine, what is the significance of the Earth compared to all this? And this is just one galaxy. How vast is the space? They say if you travel at the speed of light, an object that is traveling at the speed of light, light travels at 186,282 miles per second. 300,000 kilometers a second is the speed of light. Traveling at that speed, in 1 year you'll cover a distance of 9.5 trillion kilometers. They estimate that just this one galaxy, the Milky Way, is 150,000 light years. And they estimate that there are another 170 billion other galaxies. And all this is just 3% of this universe, in which there are so many stars. Coming back to that report of NASA, they say if you take 1 second, 1 second to name each star, just to name it, 1 second, it will take 300 trillion years just to name the star. Such is the vastness of Allah's creation. Akbar min kulli kabir, aqwa min kulli qawi, az min kulli aziz, a'zam min kulli azim, ajal min kulli jaleel. Allah's greatness is such, greater than anything with greatness, more majestic than anything with majesty, more powerful than anything with power, more mighty than anything with might, more glorious than anything with glory. Coming back to that verse of the Quran, Allah says, وَإِن تَعُدُّوا نِعْمَةَ اللَّهِ لَا تُحْصُوهَا. If you have to enumerate, ponder, reflect, count the ni'mats of Allah, you will never do justice. إِنَّ الْإِنسَانَ لَظَلُومٌ كَفَّارٌ. إِنَّ الْإِنسَانَ لَظَلُومٌ كَفَّارٌ. Allah says, verily this human being, insan, his fitrat, his nature is such. Allah does not say zalim. Allah does not say he is an oppressor. Allah says zalum. Very, very oppressive. This word kafir, normally we associate it with disbelief. We say a kafir is a disbeliever, person without iman. The root word kafir comes from kafara, kafara. The actual meaning of kafara is someone who is ungrateful. Innal insana la zalumun kafar. Allah doesn't say kafir, Allah says kafar. Very, very ungrateful. Our mother, Aisha, Ummul Mumineen, radiyallahu ta'ala anha, she mentions about the night of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Inna rabbaka ya'lamu, inna rabbaka ya'lamu annaka taqumu adna min thuluthay al-layl, wa nisfahu wa thuluthahu, wa ta'ifatun min alladhina ma'ak. The nights of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam are mentioned many places in the Quran. Ya ayyuhal muzzammil, qum al-layl illa qaleela, nisfahu aw inqus minhu qaleela, aw zid alayhi wa rattil al-Qur'ana tartila. This verse which I mentioned earlier, Allah says, verily your Rabb knows. Allah is addressing Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, inna rabbak, verily your Rabb knows that you are standing in salah at night how long? Adana min thuluthay al-layl, sometimes 2/3 of the night, sometimes half the night. Now imagine, In summer, in winter, if the night was 12 hours long, what is Quran saying? That the tahajjud salah of Rasulullah would be 6 hours long. 6 hours long standing on the musalla. Hatta tatafattara qadama, so that our mother Aisha radiallahu anha says that the Mubarak feet of Rasulullah would start to swell, and swell to such an extent that it would split open. She could not see, could not bear to see Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam exerting himself like this. So what is her reaction? لِمَ تَسْنَوْ هَذَا يَا رَسُولَ اللَّهِ لِمَ تَسْنَوْ هَذَا يَا رَسُولَ اللَّهِ وَقَدْ غَفَرَ اللَّهُ مَا تَقَدَّمَ مِنْ ذَنْبِكَ وَمَا تَأَخَّرَ. She says, Ya Rasulullah, why do you exert yourself like this? Why do you exert yourself like this when your maqam and your status in the sight of Allah is such? Quran comes down. Inna fatahna laka fatham mubina liyaghfira laka Allahu ma taqaddama min dhanbika wa ma ta'akhkhar. That, O my Nabi, we have given you a great victory, and all your past and future sins are forgiven. Anbiya alayhimu salatu wasalam, it is our iman, it is our aqeedah, they were ma'asum, they were sinless. Nabi did not make sins. Rasulullah was protected with the mantle of ismat. Ismat, he was ma'asum, he was protected from committing sins. But what does Allah say? All your past and future sins are forgiven. In other words, should you make a sin, that is already forgiven by Allah. That maqam, that status. So she questions that, Ya Rasulullah, why do you exert yourself like this? 6 hours, 7 hours on the musalla. Such long exertion. What is the response of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam? Afala uhibbu an akuna abadan shakura? Aisha, should I not be a slave of Allah who is grateful to Allah? How many ni'mats? How many bounties of Allah are there? I am speaking to you. I am speaking to you. My thought processes, which you cannot see, are being converted into electrical impulses. They are traveling at the speed of 124 kilometers per hour to my tongue. My tongue is moving. As a result of this movement, sound waves are created. I can talk from now till Qiyamah, you will hear nothing if it were not for the wind of Allah that is carrying these sound waves. On the other side is your ears. In each ear, Allah has kept 100,000 receptors for sound. Call it 100,000 telephones in each ear. At the back of the ear is what we call the inner ear, the cochlea. It's a small pool of water. Inside it is an object that looks like a harp, a musical instrument. It has 6,000 strings. Each string vibrates to a different frequency of sound, so that you are able to hear a variation of 6,000 different frequencies of sound. On the side, there are three bones: hammer, stirrup, and anvil. These bones are a particular size, and they are set at a particular angle with each other. It is said when a child is born, as the child grows, everything in the body of that child grows. The hands grow, the feet grows. The lungs grow, the liver grows, the heart grows. Everything grows. As a human being grows, everything grows with. Yet, in a newborn child or in a 60-year-old man, these three bones are exactly the same size. It doesn't grow. And it stays in exactly the same position. Why? It needs to be that size. It needs to be at that angle to carry out its task. What is its task? It amplifies the sound waves that are striking your ears. After the sound waves are amplified, 18,000 nerve cells carry these sound waves that have been converted into electrical impulses at the speed of 124 kilometers per hour. They are carried to your brain, and your brain is able to interpret what I am saying. How many balances? How many counterbalances Allah has put into place just for you to be able to understand and comprehend what I am saying? How many ni'mats of Allah are there? How many bounties and favors of Allah are there? هَلْ أَتَى عَلَى الْإِنسَانِ حِينٌ مِّنَ الدَّهْرِ لَمْ يَكُنْ شَيْئًا مَذْكُورًا. Allah calls out in the Quran that, O insan, O human being, did there not pass upon you a period of time? لَمْ يَكُنْ شَيْئًا مَذْكُورًا. Your dhikr didn't take place. You didn't exist. You were a non-entity. إِنَّا خَلَقْنَا الْإِنسَانِ. Khaliq is Allah. Very often I mention this, people feel we manufacture and we produce things. What is the basis of the industrial or manufacturing capabilities of human being? We need raw material. Without raw material, you cannot produce anything. You need textile, then you'll produce clothing. You need wool, you'll produce carpet. You need sand, etc., then you'll produce bricks and mortar. Human beings do not create, they manufacture. The correct word for that in Arabic is sani'. Insan is sani'. Khaliq is only Allah. Creator is only Allah. Because what is Allah's raw material? Allah creates from what? From nothing. There wasn't a wisp of air, Allah brought the atmosphere into existence. There wasn't a grain of sand, Allah brought the desert into existence. There wasn't a droplet of water. What is water? When you go to school, they tell you, chemical composition of water is what? H2O. Two parts hydrogen, one part oxygen. Two parts hydrogen, one part oxygen. That is just an analysis of the chemical composition of water. But give them two tanks of hydrogen, one tank of oxygen, give them the best laboratory, give them from now till Qiyamah, by Allah's Qasam, they won't produce one drop of water also. There wasn't a drop of water, Allah brought the oceans into existence. There wasn't a blade of grass, Allah brought the forest and the jungles into existence. Allah is Khaliq. Allah is the creator, but Allah creates from nothing. إِنَّمَا أَمْرُهُ إِذَا أَرَادَ شَيْئًا أَنْ يَقُولَ لَهُ كُنْ فَيَكُونَ. Allah's affair is such that when Allah decides something, Allah says, كُنْ become and it be فَيَكُونَ and it becomes. وَمَا أَمْرُنَا إِلَّا كَلَمْحِ الْبَصَرِ أَوْ هُوَ أَقْرَبُ. Allah give us the understanding of Quran. Unfortunately, we are an ummat. This is what? This is the ummat of the Quran. This is the ummat of Muhammadur Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Other anbiya alayhimu salatu wa salam, Allah gave them mu'jizat and miracles. But the miracle lasted the lifespan of the Nabi. Isa alayhi salam, on the permission of Allah, brought the dead to life, cured the lepers, cured the those who were born blind. With the permission of Allah, that was limited to the lifespan of Isa alayhi salam. Musa alayhi salam, his staff, we know, created the roads on the ocean. The snake turned into a snake, snake back into a stick. We know the incidents. But that was limited to the lifespan of Musa alayhi salam. This ummah, the Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam of this ummah was given such a mu'jizah, such a miracle that transcended the boundaries of time. What was that miracle? Kalamullah. Allah's kalam, Quran. This is the ummah of the Quran. Such an amanat, such an amanat, such a trust was placed upon this ummah. Then Allah says, لو أنزلنا هذا القرآن على جبل لرأيته خاشعا متصدعا من خشية الله. If you had to reveal this Quran on a mountain, imagine, this is not fairy tales. This is not some novel. It's not the product of someone's imagination. This is Kalam Allah, and this Kalam introduces itself in the following manner. لا ريب فيه. There cannot be any doubt in this. إِنَّهُ لَقَوْلٌ فَصْلٌ وَمَا هُوَ بِالْهَزْلِ وَتَمَّتْ كَلِمَةُ رَبِّكَ صِدْقًا وَعَدْلًا لَا مُبَدِّلَ لِكَلِمَاتِهِ لَا تَبْدِيلَ لِكَلِمَاتِ اللَّهِ. تنزيل, تنزيل. This is a revelation from who? From who? Product of some author's imagination? No. تنزيل مِمَّنْ خَلَقَ الْأَرْضَ وَالسَّمَاوَاتِ الْعُلَى. الرحمن على العرش استوى له ما في السماوات وما في الأرض وما بينهما وما تحت الثرى وإن تجهر بالقول فإنه يعلم السر وأخفى الله لا إله إلا هو له الأسماء الحسنى. تنزيل, a revelation from who? From the one who created the heavens and the earth. الرحمن, he is الرحمن, the beneficent, the kind, the merciful. He rose upon his arsh in a keeping, in a rising which is in keeping with his greatness. لَهُ مَا فِي السَّمَاوَاتِ, everything in the heavens, everything in the earth, everything between the heavens and the earth, everything beneath this earth belongs to him. وَإِن تَجْهَرْ بِالْقَوْلِ, shout out to him, whisper to him. Sometimes we express ourselves like that. This person shouts. Sometimes a person whispers. Sometimes a person closes his mouth and thinks something. Sometimes his heart is whispering. فَإِنَّهُ يَعْلَمُ السِّرَّ وَأَخْفَى. Allah says, all this for me is same, equal. سَوَاءٌ مِّنْكُمْ مَنْ أَسَرَّ الْقَوْلُ وَمَنْ جَهَرَ بِهِ وَمَنْ هُوَ مُسْتَخْفٍ بِاللَّيْلِ وَسَارِبٌ بِالنَّهَارِ. Shout or whisper, dead of night or light of daylight, from Allah nothing is ever concealed. لَا يَعْزُبُ عَنْ رَبِّكَ مِنْ مِثْقَالِ ذَرَّةٍ. Not one zarra or atom in the heavens and the earth is concealed from Allah. This Quran is from Allah. Quran introduces itself. وَإِنَّهُ this Quran, لَتَنْزِيلُ رَبِّ الْعَالَمِينَ, is a revelation from Rabbul Alameen. نَزَلَ بِهِ الرُّوحُ الْأَمِينَ. Ruhul Ameen, Jibreel brought this Quran down. Upon who? Where was the Quran revealed? Why am I explaining this? Where was the Quran revealed? Because this is that kalam, the verse which we recited earlier. I said it's not the product of someone's imagination, it's not postulation, it's not baseless theories. It is a reality, it is haq, haq, haq. Allah says, if we reveal this Quran on a mountain, that mountain would have been rent asunder. It would have turned to dust as a result of the weight of this kalam. This is that kalam, kalamullah. This is Allah's sifat, Allah's attribute. This emanates from Allah. This is that kalam, the mafhum of the hadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, that if the Quran had to be revealed in its original form, Allah's kalam, on the Lawh-e Mahfuz, on the protected tablets, the Lawh-e Mahfuz would have been rent asunder. It would not have been able to bear the weight of this kalam. Where was the Quran revealed? وَإِنَّهُ لَتَنْزِيلُ رَبِّ الْعَالَمِينَ نَزَلَ بِهِ الرُّوحُ الْأَمِينَ عَلَىٰ قَلْبِكَ. عَلَىٰ قَلْبِكَ. Lawh-e Mahfuz couldn't take its weight. The mountains cannot take the weight of this kalam in its original form. What could take the weight? Where was the capacity? Ala qalbik, on the heart of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Such a heart. He said when Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was a little baby, little boy, in the care of Halima Sa'diya radiallahu ta'ala anha, was playing one day in the field. Malaika come down. They make this youngster, Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, lie on the ground, and the first open heart surgery occurs. Not in any theater, without any anesthetics, no ventilation machine, life support machine. The chest of Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam is opened up and the heart is taken out. The heart is bathed in zamzam. At that time, Qazi Ayaz rahimullah in his shifa mentions the riwayat that a conversation ensues between the malaika. When they see this heart, they are so impressed. Qalbun waqi'a shadeed. What a heart this is. Zinhu bi asharatin min ummatihi. Compare this heart with 10 of his ummat. They do a comparison, they find that the capacity of this heart is more than 10 hearts put together. Then they say, compare it with 100 hearts. The capacity of this heart is more than 100 hearts put together. Jibreel says to them, why are you wasting your time? Put the hearts of the whole humanity on one side. This one heart, its spiritual capacity, its nuraniyat will supersede the combined hearts of the entire humanity. Ala qalbik, this heart had to bear the weight of Allah's kalam. Sahaba say, when Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam was lying with his head on my lap, Quran started coming down. The head of Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam became so heavy, I felt my leg would crush as a result of the weight. A camel which he was sitting on, the camel would sit on the ground. It could not take, it could not bear the weight of this kalam. Jibreel is sent to Adam alayhi salatu salam. It is said in the lifespan of Adam alayhi salam, Jibreel came to him 100 times. Some Nabis 10 times, some Nabis 20 times, some Anbiya alayhi salatu wasalam, in their entire lifespan, Jibreel did not come at all. How many times did he come to Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam? Ulama record 24,000 times. 8,156 days of Nubuwwat. In that period, Jibreel came to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam 24,000 times. One occasion, how much Quran comes down? Jibreel comes with the verse of the Quran, لَا يَسْتَوِي الْقَاعِدُونَ مِنَ الْمُؤْمِنِينَ وَالْمُجَاهِدُونَ فِي سَبِيلِ اللَّهِ بِأَمْوَالِهِمْ وَأَنفُسِهِمْ فَضَّلَ اللَّهُ الْمُجَاهِدِينَ بِأَمْوَالِهِمْ وَأَنفُسِهِمْ عَلَى الْقَاعِدِينَ دَرَجَةً. Allah says, the one sitting at home, the one sitting at home and the one striving in the path of Allah with his wealth and his life can never be equal. فَضَّلَ اللَّهُ الْمُجَاهِدِينَ بِأَمْوَالِهِمْ وَأَنفُسِهِمْ عَلَى الْقَاعِدِينَ دَرَجَةً. Allah has given fazilat, Allah has given virtue, Allah has given distinction and honor, status to the one striving in the path of Allah with his wealth and his life over the one sitting at home. Quran's decision, they can never be equal. Abdullah bin Umm Maktoum, blind sahabi, radiallahu ta'ala, who hears this verse. Allahu Akbar, look at the fikr, look at the concern. Quran is saying they can never be equal. Because of his blindness, he was unable to go out in the path of Allah. So he says, Ya Rasulullah, what about me? What about me? Allah is saying the one sitting at home and the one striving in the path of Allah cannot be equal. I am blind. I am unable to strive in the path of Allah. What about me? These were those personalities, Allah's Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam made such an effort upon Sahaba ikram that each one could take directly from Allah. Nowadays hundreds of thousands at one time are making dua. They are saying Ameen together. They are begging and beseeching from Allah, and the arsh of Allah is not shaking. The door of the heavens are not opening. Why? This was that Jamaat. Wathila bin Asqa radiallahu ta'ala who says, referring to the time of Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu ta'ala anhu, where the Jamaat of Sahaba was dispatched, they were 8,000. The Roman army was 100,000. 8,000 against 100,000. Kunna kannuktatil bayda fi jildi thawril aswad. Wasila bin Asqa describes this comparison, 8,000 against 100,000. He says, we were like a strand of black hair. We were like a strand of black hair. We were like a strand of white hair on the body of a black ox. Ma kana shi'ar, Allahu Akbar. And what happened? What happened? This army got surrounded. Inadvertently, they got surrounded. And in those days, warfare that used to take place, an army that is surrounded, its halakat, its destruction, is determined. He says, we began picturing our janazah. We're completely surrounded. The Arabs were such that in the face of aggression, in unbelievable adversity, persecution, difficulty and hardship, poetry was an inherent part of their natures. They would recite poetry. In Badr, Umair bin Humam radiallahu ta'ala anhu, here's Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam saying, Ta'arradu, ta'arradu ila jannatin arduha samawatu wal ard. Hasten towards Jannah, hasten towards Jannah, hasten towards paradise. Such a paradise, the breadth of which is equal to the distance between the heavens and the earth. When he hears this, He's elated, overjoyed. Such a Jannah awaits me. Bakhin, Bakhin. Mubarak, how beautiful, how lovely. This is the literal translation, expression he makes. Bakhin, Bakhin. Ma hamalaka ala qawlika Bakhin, Bakhin. Ya Rasulullah, Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam says to him, O Umayr, why did you say Bakhin, Bakhin? Why did you react like this? Inni uridu an akuna min ahliha. Ya Rasulullah, I said this in the anticipation and the hope. This was dua, this was iltija in my heart, that Allah must make me one of the residents of Jannah. Innaka min ahliha. Basharat. Glad tidings from Darbar-e Risalat. Allah's Rasul Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam says, Umayr, Allah has accepted your dua. You will enter Jannah. When he hears this, he's eating some dates. Such is the shawq, such is the inclination, such is the yaqeen and conviction in akhirat. That he looks at the dates. لَإِنْ حَيِّتُ إِلَىٰ أَنْ أَكُلَ تَمَرَاتِ هَذَا لَكَانَ حَيَاةً طَوِيلًا. If I remain alive for as long as it takes me to eat these dates, that is too long a life. So he throws the dates away, rushes onto the maidan. But in that situation of adversity, what is his intention? To give his life. His intention is to give his life. Normally you hear about authors, they get writer's block. They go through periods where they're not able to write, particularly poets. They need to be in a calm, serene environment and atmosphere. Nothing must be troubling them. Then only they can give expression to their imaginative abilities and they're able to write. Otherwise, they suffer from writer's block, long periods where they can't produce any poetry or they can't produce any novels. They need things to be sorted out psychologically. Yet, the Arabs were such, he's running to give his life. And in that condition, he's reciting poetry. رَقْضًا إِلَى اللَّهِ بِغَيْرِ زَادِي إِلَّا التُّقَى وَعَمَلِ الْمَعَادِي وَالصَّبْرِ فِي اللَّهِ عَلَى الْجِهَادِ وَكُلُّ زَادٍ عُرْضَةٌ نَفَادِي غَيْرَ التُّقَى وَالْبِرِّ وَالرَّشَادِي. Dawat was the lifeblood of Sahaba. إِنَّا أَرْسَلْنَاكَ شَاهِدًا وَمُبَشِّرًا وَنَذِيرًا وَدَاعِيًا إِلَى اللَّهِ بِإِذْنِهِ وَسِرَاجًا مُنِيرًا. Allah, when He describes His Nabi, O Muhammad Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, we have sent you, arsalnaka, as a witness, as a giver of glad tidings, as a warner, وَدَاعِيًا إِلَى اللَّهِ, we have sent you as an inviter to Allah. And a shining lantern, this mizaj and temperament of Dawud was transferred into the lifeblood of Sahaba. The Sahabi is giving his life, he's reciting poetry, but not poetry like the poets of today. That my ashuk, my ashik, or my mashuka, the woman I love, her eyes are like this and her ears are like that, and the twinkle in the gaze is like this and the movement of her hair is like this. Such nonsense they write. وَالشُعَرَاءُ يَتَّبِعُهُمُ الْغَاوُونَ أَلَمْ تَرَ أَنَّهُمْ فِي كُلِّ وَادِي يَهِيمُونَ وَأَنَّهُمْ يَقُولُونَ مَا لَا يَفْعَلُونَ. Abject nonsense. Not like that. The Sahabi is reciting poetry, but in his poetry he is giving da'wat. رَبْضًا إِلَى اللَّهِ, he says, I am running to Allah. رَبْضًا إِلَى اللَّهِ, I am running, I am making alwida, I am bidding farewell from this world. بِغَيْرِ زَادِي, my pockets are empty. My pockets are empty. Empty of what? Empty of the material wealth of this world. Nowadays when the moth is approaching, what people are worried about? The financial stability of his offspring. How much am I going to leave behind? How much am I going to leave behind? As if what he leaves behind is going to matter to him in his qabr. When the angel of mort, when the angel of death presents itself, when the angel of death presents itself, my respected brothers, ask ourselves this question. Morning till night we're worried. We've set goals and aspirations and ideals. One shop, we want two shops. Two shops, we want three shops. The bank balance is this size, we want to make it even bigger. Our business achieves so much this year, we want to achieve so much the next year. This is day and night, parishan. We lose sleep over this, worried, concerned. Ask ourselves this one fundamental basic question. When mort and death comes in front of us, how important and relevant all this will be? Whether the one shop was 10 shops, or whether the one bank balance had 6 or 7 or 8 zeros, Whether you got one house or three houses, or whether you're driving a Mercedes Benz or a Toyota, when Malakul Maut presents itself, what will be the relevance of that? Maut, ulama explain it like this, they say Maut is actually a multiplication symbol. When it comes to aspects of dunya, Maut is a multiplication symbol against what? Against zero. Take 1,000 multiplied by zero, it's zero. Million, zero, still zero. 1 billion multiplied by zero, it's still zero. When Maut comes in front of us, whatever dunya we have, when the child was born, observe a newborn child. The fist of the child is closed. Why? This is fitrat of insan. Allah is giving us ishara, indication of the lalach and greed of insan. That you see this human being that is being born, his fist is closed because he'll snatch and snatch and snatch and snatch. And he'll gather and gather and gather and gather as much of this dunya as he can. And naturally, fitratan, when the person passes away, at the time of his maut, you will not find a mayyit whose hands are closed. Mayyit's hands are open. The fist is open, the palm is open, it's visible. So that when the janazah is being carried, the message is being given, when I came in this world, my hand was closed. I wanted to gather as much as I want, as much as I could of this world. Today I'm leaving empty-handed. Today I'm leaving empty-handed. No, observe, nothing is coming with me. Nothing is coming with me. Umar radiallahu ta'ala anhu goes to the graveyard of Madina Munawara, addresses the residents of the grave. This is Umar, Allahu Akbar, not an ordinary person. You and I go graveyard, assalamu alaykum, ahl al-kuburim, al-muslimin, nowadays is such, if we go graveyard, the janazah is being lowered into the ground and someone's cell phone is ringing. Planning, when's the next container going to be delivered? Or where's my parcel? Or when my payment is going to be due? The manzar and scene of maut and death is in front of us. And still, the fikr and concern is for dunya. This was Umar. As-salamu alaykum ya ahl al-qubur min al-muslimin. He addresses the residents of the grave. And he says, peace be upon you, residents of these graves. I've got a message for you. Umar says to the residents of Baqiyul Gharqad, he says, I've got a message for you. What is the message? Khabru ma'indana. Listen to the message from our side. Because obviously you might be curious. You left things behind, you might be curious. So let me tell you what happened on our side. أَنَّ أَزْوَاجَكُمْ قَدْ تَزُوِجَتْ وَأَنَّ أَمْوَالَكُمْ قَدْ تَفُرِّقَتْ وَأَنَّ دُوَرَكُمْ قَدْ سُكِنَتْ. You know those houses? You were worried about whether it's got Italian tiles, or we got what kind granite in the kitchen, and what kind marble, and what kind decoration those houses. I'm translating in our terms, that time there was no granite and so on. But أَنَّ دُوَرَكُمْ, those houses which you loved, were very concerned about. Other people are living in those houses today. The wealth, morning till night, Mali, Mali, Mali. This is Mali. What it means, my money, my money, my money. Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, Yaqul Ibn Adam, Mali, Mali, Mali. Ibn Adam, insan, says, my money, my money, my money. But what is his money? What is his money? Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, what is his money? His money is what he ate, what he wore, and what he used up, what he spent. The rest of it is not his money. Anything that he left behind is not his. There was one person, he told his wife that if you go to your father's house to visit him, 3 talaqs. That was a different zamana. This is a different zamana. This zamana is such nowadays. The other day someone sent me a message. This person went into a bookstore and he told the curator at the bookstore that listen, he told the attendant that listen, I'm looking for a book called Husband Master of the House. So they said, listen, comics and fiction is upstairs. Nowadays a person says, I am the boss in my house and I have my wife's permission to say so. This is a different zamana. But obviously there's nothing wrong with that. We're not advocating to be like now, like sometimes they say, I am a lion. You want to be a lion, you must be a lion in public, not at home. Islam didn't teach you to be a lion at home. The akhlaq and teaching of Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam was to be a lion in public, not at home. But nowadays it's the other way around. In the house he wants to be a lion, in public, when that scantily clad woman walks into the shop, eye candy, then he is the height of akhlaq and generosity and kindness and affection. Speaks very nicely, very sweetly. They is supposed to be a lion. They is speaking very nicely. And the house where he is supposed to be kind, generous, where our mother Aisha radiallahu anha was asked that describe the akhlaq, describe the manner of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam in his home. What did she say? Kana dhahakan basaman. Kana dhahakan basaman. First thing she said. She said, when my Nabi entered the house, he would be smiling. He would be smiling. He would make salam. She goes on to describe, she says, Kana fi mihnati ahlihi. This word mihna. What does it translate? He would be in the service of his wives. He would be in the service of his wives. Sometimes he would mend his shoe. Sometimes he would knead the dough. Sometimes he would sweep the house. Sometimes he would engage in domestic chores. Who? Sayyidul Awwaleena wal Akhireen. Tajdare Madina. Sarwar Kainat, the pride of Allah's creation, did not regard it as below his dignity to engage in domestic chores. This is akhlaq. This is the character of Islam. This is what Islam advocates, humility. This is what Islam advocates, kindness, compassion, generosity, acknowledgement of one's favors, or favors done towards one. Unfortunately, our homes, that's a separate topic, not my intention to go into details. Our homes today have become Jahannam. Our homes today have become like the fire of hell on this earth. Why? Because our lives are devoid of akhlaq and character. We don't know how to smile in the face of aggression. We don't know how to tolerate. We don't know how to overlook. We don't know how to forgive. We don't know how to exhibit compassion. Each one of us is out to get 100% his pound of flesh. That is why brother is not talking to brother. Cousin is not talking to cousin. Homes are breaking up. Behind this is what? Jibreel comes down with the verse of the Quran. خُذِ الْعَفْوَ وَأْمُرْ بِالْعُرْفِ وَأَعْرِضْ عَنِ الْمُشْرِكِينَ وَأَعْرِضْ عَنِ الْجَاهِلِينَ خُذِ الْعَفْوَ وَأْمُرْ بِالْعُرْفِ وَأَعْرِضْ عَنِ الْجَاهِلِينَ. He says to Jibreel, what literally if you translate these verses, what is it? Khudil afwa, be forgiving. Enjoying good. Turn away from ignorance that is exhibited towards you. In other words, don't pay back ignorance with ignorance. He says to Jibreel, what do these verses mean? Jibreel goes back, the tafsir of these verses is brought down. Ya Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, inna Allah ya'muruka an tasilu man qata'ak wa tu'ti man haramak wa ta'fu amman zalamak. Three things, and ulama kiram say these three things are in fact the embodiment of the akhlaq and character of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. I remember Hafiz Patel sahab from UK, passed away last year, Allah fill his qabr with noor. Once he caught my hand in the haram of Medina Sharif. And he looked at me and he said, Mauli sahab, listen to what I have to tell you. He said, on a hot day, if someone is eating ice cream, you look at that person, it's hot, he's eating ice cream, he's relishing it. You just look at him and water comes in your mouth. He's got the ice cream, not you. But water comes in your mouth, you start salivating, just looking at him eating the ice cream. He said, go and tell the ummah that if they will bring in their lives the akhlaq of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam, then the disbeliever of this world looking at them, water will come in his mouth to enter Islam. Sahaba brought alive in their lives the akhlaq of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And ulama say akhlaq, in one hadith it comes, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, akhlaq is made up of 360 parts. 360 parts. And then what did my Nabi say? Someone who comes with any one of the 360 parts will enter Jannah. Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu hears this, he says, Ya Rasulullah, are any of the 360 in my life? Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, Oh Abu Bakr, all 360 are in your life. But if we start 360, say by too much there. So ulama say the crux of the 360 is just three things. They say these three things are the akhlaq of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And if the ummah will incorporate this in their lives, there will be no need for bayans, no need for long lectures. Droves of humanity will come towards Islam. If this ummah will incorporate and inculcate these three things in their lives, إِنَّ اللَّهَ يَأْمُرُكْ O my Nabi, Allah commands you, أَن تَصِلُ مَنْ قَطَعَكْ Join with the one who breaks off from you. Give the one who deprives you. Forgive the one who oppresses you. Join with the one who breaks off from you. Give the one who deprives you. Forgive the one who oppresses you, my respected brothers. To say this is easy. To say this is easy, but wallah, I'm sitting on the minbar of the masjid. My understanding of Quran and Hadith is limited, but understand it like this. According to my understanding, which we have heard from our kabirin, wallah, by the qasam of my Allah, to smile at the one who shows aggression to you is more virtuous than 1,000 rakats of nafil of tahajjud salah. To seal this tongue off from ghibat, from slandering, from backbiting, from hurting the feelings of others. Allah's qasam is more virtuous than 1,000 nafil, roza and fast that you will keep. And tomorrow on the day of judgment you will see it. Allah's Nabi Islam said, مَا مِن شَيْءٍ أَثْقَلْ فِي مِيزَانِ الْعَبْدِ الْمُؤْمِنِ يَوْمَ الْقِيَامَةِ مِنْ خُلُقٍ حَسَنٍ Another hadith, mafhum of the hadith, Rasulullah ﷺ said, Al-Qaim bin Layl, Was-Saim bin Nahar, a person who kept Nafil Roza every year of his life, every day of every year of his life. And every night, his back did not touch the bed. His entire night was in Tahajjud Salah. His every day was in Roza. By the Qasam of my Allah, on the tongue of my Habib sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the mafhum of the hadith, this person will not get a jannat like the person who brings these three things in his life. Allah will give him a greater jannat. He said, Allah's Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, bring this akhlaq in your life. Bring this akhlaq and character in your life. Ana dhamin, I am your guarantor. Come and take jannatul firdaus from me. Not jannat, jannatul firdaus. I will give it to you. And yet today, to stay away from ghibat is not even regarded as a neki or a good deed. So that no place is safe. Each lot of times, very quickly we say, MashaAllah. MashaAllah, I made so many umrah. I made so many hajj. I went so many times in jamaat. I spent so many 4 months. I did this, I did that. I built this masjid. I did this. My jannat. What is the underlying meaning of this I is my jannat is guaranteed. Ulama say, if you want to know how much your jannat is guaranteed and what the value of all this, what you did is, one day, just any day from the morning, take one pen and paper. And every time you open your mouth, write down what you say. Every time you open your mouth, write down what you say. Just one day from morning till night, and then end of the day, read what you said. Then you'll know where your 4 months went, and where your masjid went, and where your hajj went, and where your umrah went, and where all your nafil salah and your tahajjud went. Because every time our mouth is opening, what is coming out? Either we're attacking someone, or we're slandering someone, hurting the feelings of someone, making ghibat about someone. Al-ghibatu ashaddu min az-zina. Al-ghibatu ashaddu min az-zina. Zina is such a reprehensible act that my Nabi said, Iman cannot tolerate zina. So that a zani, Allah protect us. If a zani commits zina, Iman leaves his body at the time of that act. And yet what did my Nabi say? Worse than that is ghibat. Worse than that is ghibat. And yet, no masjid is safe. No masjid is safe. Baytullah is not safe. Masjid al-Nabawi is not safe. People will be sitting in front of the Roza Mubarak and making ghibat. Such an effort shaitan has made on us. Homes are on fire nowadays. A woman, mashallah, is so dindar, so nek, so pious. Not one ghair mahram must even see one strand of her hair. Her life is spent in dindari, in taqwa, in acts of worship, in ibadat. All her muamalat, muasharat are fulfilled 100%. Till when? Till when? Till the day a daughter-in-law enters the house. How often we see it? Till the day a daughter-in-law enters the house, and then what happens? Every time she's talking to her daughters, what is she doing? Making ghibat of the daughter-in-law. Looking for faults. Point. How many marriages are breaking as a result of this? This is why ulama say, if you want to understand the piety of a woman, if you want to understand the piety of a woman, understand it the day she becomes a mother-in-law. The day she becomes a mother-in-law, if she can treat the daughter of someone else like she will treat her own daughter. Hide the faults of the daughter of someone else like she will hide the faults of her own daughter. Try to make the home of the daughter of someone else like how she will try to make the home of her own daughter. That is the day we can say that such a woman is pious. This is just an example. Not yet to run any mother-in-laws down. But we find these aspects of the life of Nubuwwat, of the akhlaq and character of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, have come out of the ummah. This is why the homes are on fire. This is why everywhere you turn, Allahu Akbar, kada al-halimu an yakuna nabiyya. Kada al-halimu an yakuna nabiyya. What did my Nabi say? Allahu Akbar. Hilm, what they call burdbari. In Urdu they say burdbari. In other words, in English, tolerance. To have tolerance. Just one aspect of akhlaq, tolerance. To be able to tolerate, what they say, bardash. In Urdu, bardash, to tolerate. A pearl, a diamond. How does it become a diamond? If you study geologically, how does a diamond... It wasn't a diamond. Initially it was a piece of coal. Thousands and thousands and thousands of tons of earth was suppressing it for years and years, centuries and centuries and centuries. Till eventually, gradually, that piece of coal became a diamond. Kohenur, we know, is a famous diamond. Kohenur, Alauddin Khilji, in 1252, conquered Andhra Pradesh in India. When he entered the treasury of Andhra Pradesh, opened the treasure house, the first thing his gaze fell upon was this 956 carat diamond that was the pride of the treasury of Andhra Pradesh. When he looked at it, Besakta, involuntary on his lips came the word Kohenur, what it means, mountain of light. Then obviously in the 18th century, the English stole it. Now it's part of the Queen Victoria's jewels in London somewhere. But how did that Kohenur become Kohenur? How did that diamond become a diamond? Bardash, toleration, tolerating thousands and thousands of tons of earth crushing it. For centuries and centuries it made bardash and then bardash and then bardash, tolerated and then tolerated and then tolerated till finally Allah made it a diamond. The value of tolerating. What is our attitude? Hum bhi to hai. I am somebody. Why must I put up with this? Why should I tolerate? I must get my say in. I must establish my right. I must be right. This I is what is destroying the homes of the ummah. Learn to tolerate. Learn to overlook. Learn to forgive. As we mentioned, more valuable than tahajjud salah, more valuable than nafil salah is these aspects of akhlaq. Bring them in your life, bring them in your life. Then not only in akhirat, in dunya, Allah will make you a diamond. كَأَنَّهُ وَلِيٌّ حَمِيمٌ. We heard the verses of the Quran in tonight's Isha Salah. Where Allah says that the one who did wrong to you, show kindness to him. The one who did wrong to you, show kindness to him. What will happen? Allah says, we will melt his heart till he becomes waliyun hamim, till he becomes your close and your beloved friend. We want to win hearts over. We want to win hearts over. One of our Kabirin mentions, he says, sometimes you can learn from the bus and the truck language also. He says, once I was following one taxi or one bus, in the back of it was written an expression, this is India, Pakistan, written there, dil barai faroh. Dil baraye faroq, heart for sale. Dil baraye faroq, heart for sale. And underneath was written qeemat, what is the price? Heart for sale, what is the price? Zaban ke meethi bol. Zaban ke meethi bol, the sweet utterance of the tongue. The sweet utterance of the tongue is the price tag to win hearts over. This is an ummat of da'wat. This is an ummat of the akhlaq of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Coming back to what we were mentioning earlier. Allahu Akbar. Umar addresses the residents of the graves of Baqiyul Gharqat. Listen the message from our side. Your houses, others are living in it. أَنَّ أَمْوَالَكُمْ قَدْ تُفُرِّقَتْ. Coming back to what? I digressed. Your wealth, which wealth? The wealth you hankered after. The wealth you gave your life for. The wealth which overrode every other ambition and desire. One person told his wife, if you go to your father's house, 3 talaqs. I'm not saying you're supposed to do that. But this person did that. Father got sick. She remembered what her husband said. She remained at home. Then the father passed away. Now the message came, father is gone. You want to see him or look at his face? One last time, this is your only chance. She said, marriage or no marriage. She rushed from the house, went to her father's house, entered his bedroom and saw him on his deathbed. People started saying, nikah is over, 3 talaqs. Matter went to the ulama, they said no. No, why? If you go to your father's house, 3 talaqs, the day his eyes closed, that house was no longer his. The day his eyes closed, that house was no longer his. Insan says, mali, mali, my money, my wealth, my car, my this, my that. Rasulullah said, what is your wealth? What you used up is your wealth. What you wore is your wealth. What you ate is your wealth. What you sent ahead in akhirat is your wealth. Everything else is not your wealth. It is the wealth of others. Ulama said that house did not belong to her father when she entered the house. The house belonged to the heirs of her father. This is why that nikah is intact. Umar says to the residents of the grave, your wealth has been distributed to others. Your houses, others are living in it. Those wives whom you love, today they are married to other men. From the graves the response comes. From the graves the response comes. Wa alaykum as-salam ya Amirul Mu'mineen. Peace be upon you, Amirul Mu'mineen. Khabru ma indana. Listen to the message from our side now. Listen to our side message. أَنَّمَا قَدَّمْنَا وَجَدَنَا وَأَنَّمَا أَنفَقْنَا رَبِحْنَا وَأَنَّمَا تَرَكْنَا خَسِرْنَا. Umar, what we sent ahead, what we gave to Allah, مَا عِنْدَكُمْ يَنْفَدْ وَمَا عِنْدَ اللَّهِ بَاقْ مَا عِنْدَكُمْ يَنْفَدْ وَمَا عِنْدَ اللَّهِ بَاقْ. This is Allah's hatmi faisla. This is Allah's indelible decision. Qiyamah can come, this decision will never change. This is Allah's indelible decision. Whatever you will use of this world on yourself, whatever you will keep by you will come to an end. وَمَا عِنْدَ اللَّهِ. That which you send to Allah. That which you send to Allah. That which you spend in the way of Allah. Baqin, Allah says, we will preserve it for you. We will not only preserve it for you, we will multiply it for you. Omar, what we sent ahead, we have found it. Whatever we spent in the way of Allah, Rabihna, we have made profit. We have made profit, we have seen it. وَأَنَّمَا تَرَكْنَا خَسِرْنَا Omar, everything we left behind, everything we left behind, we have lost it. Everything we left behind, we have lost. This is the haqiqat. This is where Allah says, مَتَاعُ الْغُرُورِ وَمَا الْحَيَاةُ الدُّنْيَا إِلَّا مَتَاعُ الْغُرُورِ وَمَا الْحَيَاةُ الدُّنْيَا إِلَّا مَتَاعُ الْغُرُورِ يَا أَيُّهَا النَّاسِ إِنَّ وَعْدَ اللَّهِ حَقٌّ فَلَا تَغُرَّنَّكُمُ الْحَيَاةُ الدُّنْيَا وَلَا يَغُرَّنَّكُمْ بِاللَّهِ الْغَرُورِ Allah says, O people, Allah's wada, Allah's promise is haq, haq, haq. Do not let this world deceive you. Don't let the lalach and the glitter and glamour of this dunya deceive you. Ye chor dene wali jahan hai. Kasara min baqia. La yahsabuhu dham'anu ma'a. This is a mirage. It is a trick of the light. It is an illusion. La yusawi janaha ba'ud. It is not equal to the wing of one mosquito also. Malik bin Dinar, great wali of Allah. Great wali of Allah. Other side is Harun Rashid. Who is Harun Rashid? Khalifa of the Banu Umayyah. Three continents at one time he was ruling. When he used to look at a rain cloud, he would say, Umturi haythu shit. Wasayujiba ilayya kharajuki. Rain wherever you want, the produce of your rain will still be in the kingdom of Harun. Such a kingdom. Such a kingdom. Malik bin Dinar, Wali of Allah, but a poor man. Clothes are tattered and torn, walks in the court of Harun Rashid and greets him. How does he greet him? Assalamu alayk. He says, peace be upon you. Then he gives him a title, Ya Zahid. What is Zahid? This word Zahid comes from Zuhud. What it means is someone who contents himself with very little. Assalamu alayka Ya Zahid. Peace be upon you, O one who has contented himself with very little. Who is saying this? A man whose clothes are tattered and torn, who hasn't got a penny to his name, is addressing a Khalifa and ruler who is ruling over three continents and calling him a man who has contented himself with very little. Harun Rashid is shocked, surprised, astonished, exclaims at this type of greeting. He says, you calling me Zahid, who's the Zahid? You calling me Zahid? What was the response of Malik bin Dinar? He says, oh Harun, nadarta ila dunya. نَذَرْتَ إِلَى الدُّنْيَا أَلَّتِي لَا يُسَاوِي جَنَاحَ بَعُودٍ Harun, your gaze went to this dunya, which is not equal to the wing of a mosquito. Your gaze, your three continents of this dunya is not equal to the wing of one mosquito also. This is what that Sahabi was saying, Umayr bin Humam. رَغْضًا إِلَى اللَّهِ بِغَيْرِ زَادِي He says, I am running to Allah, my pockets are empty. What am I taking with me? What am I taking with me? إِلَّا التُّقَى تَقْوَى Sabr in the way of Allah. عَمَلُ الْمَعَادِ The amal of akhirat. Dunya, my pocket is empty. But taqwa I have with me. Amal of akhirat I have with me. Striving in the way of Allah I have with me. And then he addresses the entire ummah of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Wa kullu zad urdatun nafad. Whatever you will amass and gather of this world will come to an end. Kullu man alayha fan. Kullu nafsin dha'iqatul maut. Kullu shayin halik illa wajha. How many places in the Quran Allah tells us? Whatever you have, everything of this world, halik, will come to an end. Only one Allah will remain. The haqiqat is Allah. The reality is Allah. The goal, qibla, direction of this heart is to become Allah. This effort, Janab Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam made upon Sahaba Ikram. Where each one's the qibla, the direction of this heart had become Allah. Such an effort he made. Anas radiallahu anhu narrates, he says, one youngster's janazah is brought into Masjid al-Nabawi, in the courtyard. Youngster's janazah, young man has passed away. Allah's Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam addresses his companions. Is there any relative, any living relative? He said, Ya Rasulullah, he has an elderly mother. He's not from Medina, he's from outside. The environment of Medina did not agree with him. This is why he passed away. Taqdeer. Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, send for his mother. They send for the mother. Someone holding a hand brings her. As she enters, Anas looks up, observes this woman. Her name was Ummu Sa'ib radiallahu anha. Anas radiallahu ta'ala anhu describes her. He says, Ajuz and Amya. Ajuz and Amya. She was an elderly woman and she was blind. She's brought to in front of the mayyit, the janazah, her son. This blind elderly woman places her hand on the foot of her son. Muslim, not a long time. But such an effort, such an environment of iman reverberated in Madina Munawwara that this woman has iltija, she has a request. She has a desire, she has a hope, she has an aspiration in her heart. In front of her is Muhammadur Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. In front of her is Sayyidina Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu ta'ala anhu. In front of her is Sayyidina Umar Farooq radiallahu ta'ala anhu. In front of her is Sayyidina Osman ibn Affan radiallahu ta'ala anhu. In front of her is Sayyidina Ali ibn Abi Talib radiallahu ta'ala anhu. Beloved of Allah, beloved of Allah. Yet she does not request any one of them to make dua for her. She has a need in her heart. She doesn't ask any one of them to make dua for her. She herself turns to Allah. This is the type of effort Allah's Rasulullah made, where each one was connected to Allah. Each one had come unto that which Allah and his Rasulullah wanted. Allahumma. What is her dua? Anas radiallahu anhu narrates, Allahumma, inni aslamtu laka tawa. وهاجرت إليك رغبة وخلعت الأوثان زهدا فلا تشمد بي عبدة الأوثان ولا تحملني من هذه المصيبة ما لا طاقة لي بحملها. What is her dua? Oh Allah, I accepted Islam willingly. Allahumma inni aslamtu laka tawa. Not only I accepted Islam, Ya Allah, I made hijrat. I made hijrat, I left my home. I left my people and I strove in your path. Hajartu ilayka raghba, with raghbat, with zeal. I gave up idol worship. I gave up ascribing partners with you. I brought Islam. I gave up idol worship. I strove in your path. Ya Allah, I came to Madina Munawwara with one object only. To learn this deen. Why? Because I wanted to take it back to my people. The day a sahabi would accept iman, each one understood that till the last breath in my body, my responsibility is to convey the deen of Allah. My responsibility is to convey the worry of Muhammad Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Ya Allah, you have tested me now. You have taken my son. What is going to happen? When I go back to the idol worshippers of my town, they are going to say the curse of your new religion has taken the life of your son. Ya Allah, this loss will become an obstacle. I will not be able to propagate this deen. I will not be able to give da'wat. Ya Allah, I am begging you. I am begging you, don't put such a calamity in front of me. Don't put such an obstacle. Remove this obstacle. Anas radiallahu anhu says she had barely finished her dua and the son removed the kafan from his body. He got up. He lived through the time of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. He lived through the time of Sayyidina Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu anhu. Lived through the time of Umar Farooq radiallahu ta'ala anhu. Became shaheed in the time of Osman radiallahu ta'ala. Such an effort Allah's Rasul sallallahu alaihi wasallam made. Each one was a person of dua. Wasila bin Asqa radiallahu ta'ala anhu says, we were 8,000, the enemy was 100,000. Surrounded, like we mentioned, Arabs in the face of aggression, they would recite poetry. In the face of aggression, they would recite poetry. Jafar bin Abi Talib on the Maidan of Muta. Ya habbatal jannati wa iqtirabuha. Tayyibatun wa baridatun sharabuha. Warrumu rumu qaddadana adabuha. Alayya idlaqaituha dhirabuha. Abdullah bin Rawaha radiallahu ta'ala anhu. proceeding from Muta, أَقْسَمْتُ يَا نَفْسْ لَتَنْزِلَنَّهُ أَوْ لَتِطَالِعَنَّهُ إِنْ أَجْلَبَ النَّاسَ وَشَدُّ الرَّنَّةِ مَا لِي أَرَاكِ تَكْرَهِينَ الْجَنَّةِ هَلْ أَنْتِ إِلَّا نُطْفَةٌ فِي شَنَّةِ. خبيب بن عدي رضي الله تعالى عنه: وقد جمعوا الأحزاب هولي وقلبوا وقربت من جزع طويل ممنعي فذا العرش صبرني على ما يراد بي فقد بضعوا لحمي وقد بان مطمعي وقد خيروني الكفر والموت دونه وقد هملت عيناي من غير مجزعي وما بي حذار الموت إني لميت ولكن حذاري جحم نار ملفعي فوالله ما أرجو إذا مت مسلما على أي شق إن كان في الله بمصرعي فلست بمبد للعدو تخشعا ولا جزعا إني إلى الله مرجعي. In the face, mort was in front of them, they would recite poetry. Yet such was the halat and condition on this occasion. Then Wasila bin Askar radiallahu anhu says, we even forgot poetry. We even forgot poetry. We were silent, deathly silent. All we did, ما كان شعارنا إلا أن قال, all we did was we said, يا رب محمد أنصر أمة محمد, يا رب محمد أنصر أمة محمد, oh the رب of محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم, help the أمة of محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم. All we did was we said this. Their call would reach the arsh of Allah. Their call would reach the arsh of Allah. Abdullah bin Umar رضي الله تعالى says, all of a sudden, in farajat في السماء فرجة, the sky split open. I saw horsemen coming down. They had amamas on their foreheads. They started descending till they reached head height. All of a sudden they disappeared. And then within a few minutes, this army of 100,000 started running helter-skelter. In different directions, fearing for their lives. They said, we were silent. All we did was we said, Ya Rabba Muhammad. And as that army descended, on their lips, he said, I heard them, they were saying to us, Abshir, Ya Ummata Muhammad, Faqad Ataakum Allahu bin Nasri. Become happy, O the Ummata Muhammad Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, the help of Allah has come. The help of Allah has come. When this Ummat was on Mansab Dawat, Innakum ala bayyinatim min Rabbikum, مَا لَمْ تَظْهَرْ فِيكُمْ سَكْرَتَانْ سَكْرَةُ الْجَهَلْ وَسَكْرَةُ حُبِّ الْعَيْشِ وَأَنْتُمْ تَأْمُرُونَ بِالْمَعْرُوفِ وَتَنْهَوْنَ عَنِ الْمُنْكَرِ وَتُجَاهِدُونَ فِي سَبِيلِ اللَّهِ. Rasulullah s.a.w. said, you will be on a bayina, on a clear proof from your Rabb, as long as two nashas, two intoxications do not overtake you. One is the intoxication of jahalat and ignorance, and the other is the intoxication of the love and lalage of this dunya. And as long as you are striving in the path of Allah, enjoining good and forbidding evil, Allah's help will be with you. The nizam of the heavens and the earth will be subjugated for this ummah, as long as these two intoxications do not enter you. And then, and as long as you do not stop from this effort of da'wat and tabligh, as long as you do not stop striving in the path of Allah. فَإِذَا ظَهَرَ فِيكُمْ حُبُّ الدُّنْيَا فَلَا تَأْمُرُونَ بِالْمَعْرُوفِ وَلَا تَنْهَوْنَ عَنِ الْمُنْكَرِ وَلَا تُجَاهِدُونَ فِي سَبِيلِ اللَّهِ. What did my Nabi say? When the love and attachment of this dunya will blind my ummah. When my ummah will be overtaken by the intoxication of the love of this dunya, they will no longer strive in the path of Allah. They will no longer enjoin good and forbid evil. The worry and concern for insaniyat, for humanity, will have come out of their hearts. At that time, the entire system of this world will turn against this ummah. Allah is there. The doors of Allah's mercy are open. Quran tells us over and over again, فَفِرُّوا إِلَى اللَّهِ فَفِرُّوا إِلَى اللَّهِ فَفِرُّوا إِلَى اللَّهِ. Allah's Jannat is waiting. أَصْحَابُ الْجَنَّةِ يَوْمَئِذٍ خَيْرٌ مُسْتَقَرًّا وَأَحْسَنُ مَقِيلًا. How beautifully Allah says, Oh humanity, oh insan, Jannat, you are worried about this world. People are worried about seaside property. People are worried about prime real estate. Allah says, Jannat, khayrun mustaqarra wa ahsanu maqila. No better place than that. How much better? How much better? Oh Harun, your gaze went to this world which is not equal to the wing of a mosquito. My gaze went to Allah's Jannat. My gaze went to Allah's Jannat. How vast? Leave the vastness. What did my Nabi say? If something the size of a fingernail, if something the size of a fingernail, how big is a fingernail? One blade of grass? One wing of a butterfly? That is also bigger than a fingernail. Allah's Rasul said, if something the size of a fingernail from Jannat is brought into this world, the entire world will light up. And the fragrance of it will permeate throughout the entire world. Such a Jannat Allah has made. And one is what we call ordinary Jannat. To use the word ordinary is actually not appropriate, but just for understanding, ordinary Jannat. And then there is VIP Jannat. Normally we like VIP, you know, the cricket match, soccer match, any time wasting activity, they have VIP box. Person says, you know, I got special invitation. I got the card, special entry, VIP. One is ordinary Jannat, the other is VIP Jannat. Just one hadith to describe what is VIP Jannat. Allahu Akbar. What did my Nabi say? Inna Allah Ta'ala yadkhulu Jannat al-Firdaus fil yawm khamsa marrat. Fayaqul izdadi tiban li awliya'i. Izdadi husnan li awliya'i. Allah enters Jannat al-Firdaus every day 5 times. And what does Allah say to this Jannat? Become more beautiful. 5 times every day. Imagine a woman sits in front of a mirror. She's got all the cosmetics there. And she tries to make herself look more beautiful than what she is. She applies cosmetics, applies creams, applies and then applies and then applies and then applies. And finally, what you say, hey, bhai, hold it. Now you're overdoing it, looking ugly instead of beautiful. Because there is a cutoff, there is only so much more beautiful you can become in this world. The latest car, it reaches a certain point. The latest house reaches a certain point. Anything in this world, there is a cutoff point. Jannatul Firdaus, 5 times every day Allah is saying to the women of that Jannat, become more beautiful. The streams more beautiful, the rivers more beautiful, the fruits more luscious, more tasty, the palaces more beautiful. What type of Jannat is being made? And for how long? For how long? Scientists estimate, true unto Allah knows best, scientists estimate the age of this universe is 14 billion years. So what does this hadith mean? For the last 14 billion years, every day, 5 times a day, Allah is saying to this Jannat, become even more beautiful. What type of Jannat is being made? And then in this Jannat, there is one hoor. One is the normal hoors of Jannat. Like I said, use this word normal is not even correct. But fortunately, English language, we are limited. One is the normal hoor, then there is one special hoor in this Jannat. Her name is Laiba. Abu Huraira radiallahu ta'ala anhu says that in Jannatul Firdaus there is one hoor, her name is Laiba. Jami'ul hoor al-'ayni ushaqun laha. Such is her beauty that the rest of the hoors of Jannat are ashik of Laiba. She is like the queen. Such is her beauty. Lola anna Allah ta'ala qada li ahli al-jannati alla yamutu lamatu min husniha wa jamaliha. If Allah had not ordained upon the people of Jannat that you cannot die, there is no death in Jannat. There is no inna lakum an tashibbu fala tahramu abada. Tasihu fala taskamu abada. The moment you enter Jannat, the announcement will take place. Listen, you are going to remain young, you will never become old. You are going to remain healthy, you will never become sick. You are going to begin fresh. There's no question of stagnation. There's no question of decline in Jannat. Forever and ever and ever. Khalidina fiha. Forever and ever. If Allah had not ordained upon the people of Jannah that there is no death in Jannah, then just looking at Laiba, the heart would not have been able to bear the rush of ecstasy, anticipation and excitement. The Jannati would have died just looking at Laiba. Such is her beauty. Abu Huraira radiallahu anhu says, Laiba will come out of her palace. On her right hand side will be 70,000 servants. On her left hand side will be 70,000 servants. Maktubun bayna aynayha. Written between her two eyes on her forehead. And in one riwayat it comes, Maktubun fi nahriha. Written on her chest. What will be written? What will Laiba be saying? What will be her incantation? What will be her declaration? What will be her pukar? What is her mihr? What is her price tag? Aina al-amiruna bil-ma'roof wa-nahuna anil-munkar. Where are the people of da'wat and tabligh of the ummah of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam? Nowadays, what is our mindset? Ishtima in Lodium? Ishtima to take place on tablighi gathering? Now, mashallah, there'll be a good bayan. Let's go listen to the bayan. But listen, I'm not tablighi. I just came to listen to the bayan. Sit right in the back so that tashkil time you're looking for the exit route. When he had one shop, they used to call him a shopkeeper. When he opens a few shops, then you call him shopkeeper, what happens? He gets upset. He says, I'm not a shopkeeper, I'm a businessman. I'm a wholesaler. When he had one factory, they call him a factory owner. Now when he has a lot of factories, call him factory owner, he gets upset. He says, I'm an industrialist. I am a business entrepreneur. I belong to this club. I belong to that society. This ummah is priding itself on labels and associations with what? With Jifa, with the dead corpse. This ummah was given such a label, such a title, that Khaliq Kainat, Allah calls out, Allah declares unequivocally, Kuntum Khaira Ummah. You are the best of every ummah. You are the best. Why? Why? Ukhrijat linnas. You were taken out, you were selected, you were chosen for the hidayat of humanity. Ta'muruna bil ma'roof wa tanhauna 'anil munkar wa tu'minuna billah. Dawat and tabligh is the lifeblood of this ummah. Dawat and tabligh is the khususi amal of this ummah. Dawat and tabligh was the pukar of Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Dawat and tabligh is a lazimi natija, an inconsequential, unavoidable consequence of the khatm nubuwat of Janabi Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So that on the plains of Mina and Arafat, when he was bidding al-wida, farewell from his ummah, what did he say? La nabiyya ba'di wala ummata ba'da ummati falyuballigh ash-shahid minkum al-ghaib. According to the riwayat of Allama Ibn Kasir rahimullah, he said, no nabi to come after me, no ummah to come after this ummah. Who was he worried about? Not that majma in front of him, that 124,000 that was in front of him. Allah's qasam till qiyamah, this earth will never see a majma like that. This was that majma. This was that gathering. Quran had already come down. Kullan. Kullan. What does kullan mean? Oh my Nabi, kullan sahaba of Makkah. Kullan sahaba of Hijrat. Kullan sahaba of Medina. Kullan sahaba of Badr. Kullan sahaba of Uhud. Kullan sahaba of Hudaybiyah, kullan sahaba of Fateh Makkah, kullan sahaba of Hunain, kullan every sahabi, wa'adallahu al-husna, Allah has promised them Jannah. No other Nabi received this. No other Nabi received this besides Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. That every reciter of Kalima in your lifetime in front of you, wa'adallahu al-husna, Allah has guaranteed them Jannah. Who was he worried about? Who was his cry for? Night upon night on that musalla, where our mother Aisha radiallahu anha describes it. She described just one night. She says he started sobbing and crying. His body started shaking. Tears pouring down his cheeks into his beard. from his beard onto the ground, sobbing and crying. And then he started saying to Allah that, "Oh my Allah, Ibrahim Khalilullah, your friend said to you, 'Faman tabi'ani fa'innahu minni.' If they followed me, they are from me. Waman asani, if they disobeyed me, innaka ghafurur rahim. You are ghafurur rahim. Forgive them if you want, take them to task if you want. Isa ruhullah said to you, 'In tu'adhibhum fa'innahum ibaduk. Wa in taghfir lahum fa'innaka antal azizul hakim.' Oh my Allah, if you punish them, they are your slaves. If you forgive them, you are mighty and wise." Then she says he started sobbing, crying inconsolably, "Oh Allah, I am not saying to you like Ibrahim sallallahu alayhi, Ibrahim alayhi salam said. I am not saying to you like Isa ruhullah said. Ya Rabbi ummati ummati. Ya Rabbi ummati ummati." In other words, "Ya Allah, forgive them. And oh Allah, if you don't want to forgive them, then to forgive them." A father whose family is burning in a house in front of him. He can't lift a finger to save his family. He can hear their screams of pain and terror. How will that father cry? A woman whose only child is dying in front of her, in the last gasp of life. The child is breathing its last. How will that woman cry? "By the qasam of my Allah. By the qasam of my Allah." The cry of Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam for this ummah was more than that. His cry made the malaika cry. His cry caused the earth to cry. His cry caused the heavens to cry. His cry caused the arsh of Allah to cry. Jibreel is sent. "Oh my Nabi, why are you crying like this? Why are you crying like this?" Ask ourselves the question, my respected brothers. Allah didn't know. That Allah sends Jibreel that ask him, why is he crying like this? Allah didn't know. Allah knew. But if this question was not asked, then these nights would have remained a secret between Habib and Mahbub. If this question was not asked, then the businessman of the 14th century of Islam, whose day and night fikr and concern is his business, and the youngster of the 14th century of Islam, who's got both his ears clogged with those earphones and his body is jiving to the music, and the young girls of the 14th century of Islam, who in the name of commercial advancement and university education are selling their haya and their shame, and the Muslim of the 14th century of Islam, who till 1, 2 and 3 in the morning is sitting in front of that shaitan box and looking at zina taking place, every one of them would not have come to know in whose foot are you stabbing the dagger. Who are you hurting? Who have you turned your back upon? A Nabi who cried like this for you. A Nabi who finished himself like this for you. A Nabi who tied stones to his stomach like this for you. A Nabi whose daughters are given talaq in public for you. Where is his nights? Where are his days today? Where is the understanding of this ummah? Why he finished himself like that? Where is the concern of this ummah to emulate the fikr and cry of Muhammad Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam? Oh my Nabi, why are you crying like this? What is his response? "Jibreel, the worry of my ummah is making me cry. The worry of my ummah, the jannat and jahannam of insaniyat is making me cry." Jibreel goes back, Allah sends him with the response, "Oh my Nabi, stop crying. Sanurdika fi ummatik. We will please you with regards to your ummah. We will please you with regards to your ummah." Ibn Abbas radiallahu anhu, what does he say? "La arda Muhammad. La arda Muhammad. Wa wahidun min ummatihi fi nar." Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam will never be happy as long as one person from his ummah is in Jahannam. One ijtima was taking place once. Someone asked Mufti Zain al-Abidin Sahib Rahmatullah Alayhi, that Hazrat, whose ishtima is this? Whose ishtima is this? What response did he give? He didn't say it's the ishtima of Roshni, or it's the ishtima of Lodium, or it's the ishtima of Lens. What did he say? He said, the last person to come before Qiyamah, for him to be safe from Jahannam and enter into Jannat, for the worry of that person, this ishtima is taking place. This is the worry of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam. His dard, his pain, his cry, that has come out of the lives of the ummah to such an extent that our elders are saying, "Bhul gaye, aur ye bhi bhul gaye ke hum bhul gaye." Forgotten. Not only forgot that we forgot. Nasiyam mansiya, out of the minds, out of the hearts. This is the ummah of Dawat, that the whores of Jannah are calling out, Aina al-amiruna bil ma'roof, wanahuna anil munkar. Where are the people of Dawat and Tabligh of the ummah of Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam? And what will Laiba say? Inni li kulli man amara bil ma'roof wa naha anil munkar. Allah has made my nikah to every one of the people of Dawat and Tabligh of the ummah of Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. We are not an ordinary ummah. We are not an ordinary ummah, we are an ummah of qurbani, we are an ummah of sacrifice. My respected brothers, these ishtimas that are taking place are just an excuse. It's an excuse for us to put the brakes, to realize that the clock of life is destined to stop. That clock will not carry on. That clock will not carry on. It may be 10 years time, maybe 20 years, maybe 30 years, or it may be 10 seconds. When, we don't know. What have we prepared? What have we prepared? The day is coming. Sahaba will present themselves. The awliya will present themselves. The true followers of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam will present themselves. What preparation have we made for that day? This is the question. And to address that question, to make sincere tawbah, and to address that question, this is why this call is put in front of us. That by first step to get things corrected, to get the direction correct, is to go 4 months in the path of Allah. So who of us is ready, my respected brothers? Don't look left and right, and please, we're not going to make a lengthy tashkil. It was not even my intention to make lengthy bayan also. But please, my respected brothers, let us give this majma of tashkil its due respect. No one leave the gathering. Just a few minutes. This is a time, malaika writing down the names. Wallah, malaika writing down the names also. Allah is boasting in front of His angels. Value this gathering. Who of us is ready to make niyat? Make niyat. This niyat is not a promise. We are asking Allah. We are making dua, Ya Allah, you accept me. Stand up and give our names 4 months in the path of Allah. If we haven't been, if we have been, 4 months every year in the path of Allah. Come, my respected brothers. Allah accept, mashallah. Come, my respected brothers. Chalo bhai, mashallah. A lot of brothers in the Sunday are not standing. Don't wait for others, bhai. We stand, someone sees us standing, we'll get their reward also. If they stand, we're looking at us. Come, my respected brothers. Chalo bhai. Roshni means what? What does Roshni mean? Light. What greater light can there be than the light of Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam? The light of his Mubarak Dawah, the light of his Mubarak effort. This town is named, this Roshni has to spread. Light is something that spreads. Chalo bhai, who else, mashallah? Big niyat from the Ishtima, 40 days in the path of Allah. From the Ishtima or immediately after the Ishtima, within a few weeks or a month from the Ishtima, make niyat, how many jamaat inshallah for 40 days from the path of Allah. Come in the path of Allah. Come, my respected brothers. Who makes niyat 40 days, inshallah? Come, my respected brothers. Ramadan is coming also. What a Mubarak time to spend in the path of Allah. What better time? Ma Yusuf Sahib Rahmatullah Ali, in the latter part of his life, once he went to the Arab world, Makkah and Medina, it was a big gathering. He was making the tashkil, the traders of Makkah and Medina. He said, Bhai, Ramadan is coming. Ramadan, Shawwal, Zulqadah, Zilhijjah. 4 months in the path of Allah, who is ready? What was their response? They said, Hazrat, the other 8 months all will give you. These 4 months, leave it alone. Because this is the time of our wepari. This is the valuable time. What was his response? He said, this is the time that we want. What is valuable, give it to Allah. Allah will give you something better in return. مَنْ تَرَكَ شَيْئًا لِلَّهِ أَوَّدَهُ اللَّهُ خَيْرًا مِّنْ. Leave something for Allah. Allah will give you something better. Come, my respected brothers. Who else, mashallah? Few days are left for our ishtima. One of the very, very important objectives of ishtima. Ishtima is not just some gathering. One of the very, very important objectives of ishtima, our elders say, is that every baligh Muslim male has to be met. Complete dawat has to be given. Allah's greatness, the way of life of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, qabr, akhirat. The zihn of that person has to be made, and this person has to be encouraged to attend the ijtima and go out in the path of Allah. They say, every balig Muslim male, this dawah has to be given. So we have just a few days left for ijtima. Who of us makes niyyah, then inshallah, five people. We're not asking for 50 and 100, but five people every day, we will give them dawah and invite them to the ijtima. Raise our hands, inshallah, who makes his niyyah? If every one of us gives dawah to five people every day from now till ijtima, how far and wide this message will go. And we don't know who and who, Allah Ta'ala will accept. All of us will try and do this, inshallah. Also very, very important, my respected brothers, let us try and link and attach ourselves with the effort of the masjid. The masjid is like the heart in the body. The masjid is alive with amal, the whole body, with the whole locality. Every aspect of our life will be alive. The protection of Allah will be in every aspect of our life. So let us attach ourselves to the masjid. Minimum five amal, our elders teach us, our daily mashwara, our ta'aleem at home and in the masjid. Our daily time, 2.5 hours up to 8 hours. Likewise, our weekly ingash, outgash, and our monthly 3 days. And very, very important, our five salah with jamaat. All of us say, inshallah. Allah gives tawfiq. Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen. Allahumma lakal hamdu kama anta ahlu fa salli wa sallim ala sayyidina Muhammadin kama anta ahlu wa fa'al bina ma anta ahlu fa innaka ahlu taqwa wa ahlu al-maghfira. اللهم إنا على ذكرك وشكرك وحسن عبادتك ربنا آتنا في الدنيا حسنة وفي الآخرة حسنة وقنا عذاب النار اللهم إنا ندعوك الله وندعوك الرحمن وندعوك البر الرحيم وندعوك بأسمائك الحسنى كلها ما علمنا منه وما لم نعلم أن تغفر لنا وترحمنا لا إله إلا أنت سبحانك إنا كنا من الظالمين ربنا ظلمنا ربنا ظلمنا أنفسنا وإن لم تغفر لنا وترحمنا لنكونن من الخاسرين إن مغفرتك أوسع من ذنوبنا ورحمتك أرجع عندنا من أعمالنا يا غفار الذنوب يا ستار العيوب اغفر لنا ولجميع أمة محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم اللهم ارحم أمة حبيبك صلى الله عليه وسلم اللهم تجاوزت سيئات أمة محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم اللهم أصلح أمة محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم اللهم اهدي أمة اللهم اهد أمة محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم اللهم افتح أبواب الهداية اللهم أخرج الناس من الظلمات إلى النور وجنبهم الفواحش ما ظهر منها وما بطن يا رب العالمين اللهم اجعلنا هداة مهتدين اللهم اجعلنا هادين مهديين غير ضالين ولا مضلين يا رب العالمين اللهم إنا نسألك حبك وحب رسولك صلى الله عليه وسلم وحب عمل يقربنا إلى حبك اللهم اجعل نبينا لنا فرطا اللهم اجعل نبينا لنا فرطا وحوضه لنا موردا اللهم احشرنا في زمرة محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم واستعملنا على سنته واجعلنا من حزبه مع رفقائه يا رب العالمين اللهم اجعل اجتماعنا هذا اجتماع مرحوما واجعل تفرقنا من بعده تفرقا معصوما ولا تجعل فينا ولا منا ولا معنا شقي ولا محروما برحمتك ومنك وفضلك وكرمك يا أكرم الأكرمين وصلى الله تعالى على خير خلقه سيدنا ومطعنا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين الحمد لله.